Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting FilmSack. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/FilmSack and start living a better life today.
Once in a time before time, God breathed life into the universe, and the light gave birth to angels, and the earth gave birth to man, and the fire gave birth to the jinn, creatures condemned to dwell in the void between the worlds.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack. That's right, FilmSack! Mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. And I'm delaying because I forgot to bring up my notes. So give me just a moment to pull these up, and I'll read from these notes. Oh, they're good, too. Here we go. Hey, I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian. I think he stole that little red gem with everyone... Shit, while everyone was trying to find bits of Ted Raimi Dunaway.
Oh, poor Ted Raimi. So flat. Oh, hi. And thank you for breathing your hot breath on my pulsing ruby vessel and then rubbing it all over your breast. Little over-the-shirt action is the absolute best way to wake a centuries-old djinn that was imprisoned by a very naughty sorcerer. Oh, what's a djinn, you ask? Well, it's sort of like a genie, but spelt like a Django. So you know what that means. Yeah, you guessed it. You can keep that D in your mouth because it's silent, but also it means three wishes, followed by the total enslavement of all humanity. You take the good, you take the bad, and there you have the facts of strife. The facts of, okay, let's move on to the wishing. First wish, would you like to be rich? It's our number one request. How does $1 million sound? Yeah? As you wish. Bam, your mom is dead. What? That's how wishes work. You ask for something, and you get it, but at a price. This time your mom footed the bill. Thanks, Mom. All right, second wish, go. What do you mean you don't want any more wishes? Well, that's not how this works. Once you wake up the djinn, it don't just get to change your mind about waking up the djinn. Now rub my ruby red gem and make a wish. What's that now? Astonish you? Well, of all the vague bullshit wishes, fine. See that guy over there? I'd just like to see his skeleton make a break for it. Yeah, as you wish. Oh, look at the skeleton go. Holy shit, it really wants to get out of that guy's, doesn't it? Wow, okay. Well, this doesn't usually happen, but I think I just astonished myself. What's that? You got a third wish? Well, do it, lady. Let's bring this thing home. You wish Peter Atkins had stuck to writing Hellraiser movies? Shit. You unraveled everything. Randy, fear the djinn.
Oh, man, that whole first scene with the skeleton coming out and all that, that was like the best part of the movie. It was really
good.
For
sure.
That's one of my favorite parts. I was like, how does that even work?
How does it make a noise?
Yeah.
There's another part that I think is best.
Oh, do you? Snake Man, all that? Oh, man, it was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Also with us, Randy, this new version of Face Off has some problems, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
And thank you so much for registering for our oldest course here at Cairo College, How to Become a Djinn. Over the coming semester, you're going to learn more than you ever imagined about the truth of the Degen. How we're so much more than Robin Williams made us out to be. Just don't ask me too many questions, if you know what I mean. Of course, you don't know what I mean because it's your first day. So let's get started with the three basic principles of the Degen. Number one, the key to your success will be to grant wishes in a way that technically fulfills the person's stated desire, but also gives you what you want. And then, if they make the mistake of making a third wish, you get to destroy the world, unless you don't. Literally every time in history a person has made three wishes, the djinn involved has been outsmarted on the third one. This is why we started this college. Number two. Your powers will be phenomenal, but the rules governing them will be impossible for you or anyone to understand. That's why we've got this 1,300-page course curriculum that you are required to purchase at the Student Union. Why are college books so expensive? Because a book publisher once got a wish over on one of our least successful graduates. Number three. After graduation, you will be placed into a small object that will be your home until a human extracts you. When they do let you out, remember, always stretch first. 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
I didn't always suck, Aladdin.
Yeah.
10,000 years.
Feels like it. Even this movie made reference to Aladdin.
Yes.
It's pretty funny. All right, finally, Brian, he loves a nice, quiet evening of smoking and reading about Demon Genie's Ibit.
I totally do.
Ah, sounds like I have been summoned. Welcome
to Burger King. I'm the Wishmaster. Would you like to try our flaming chicken dunkers today? Okay, order when you're ready. My name? Yes, it really is Wishmaster. Long story, but my shift manager Becky awoke me by finding the fire opal on her honeymoon trip to the Dominican Republic. And she awoke me, so I took this job to stay close to her. Okay, so what would you like to order? Ah, do you wish to value size your Whopper meal for just a dollar more? As you wish. Now you will receive twice as many fries and you'll suffer a heart attack at the age of 71. Please pull forward to the second window. Welcome to Burger King. My name's Wishmaster, and now you've awoken me. Would you like to try our flaming chicken dunkers today? No? Okay, order when ready. No, I'm a djinn. It's like a genie, but I'm mean. What can I get for you? No, we've stopped serving breakfast already, but do you wish for me to ease your pain and conjure up a croissant-wich meal? As you wish. Enjoy your breakfast, but suffer, knowing I licked one of your hash brown nuggets. Pull forward to the second window. Oh, hi, shift manager Becky. What's that? You've been listening to me on the drive-thru? Do you wish to see me in your office? Oh, you're firing me? Fine. I'm an evil being that has been around for centuries, and I'll turn in my uniform when I'm good and ready.
Wow. I don't want to go to that Burger King.
I seriously thought about doing all the drive-thru stuff with this, it would have been really hard for you to hear me.
It's funny because my mind went to Burger King as well for my intro. I backed out of it. Because what? I was like, I don't know. Because it's something about Burger King.
That's
do it your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's their motto, right? Burger King is like, have it your way or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was
like,
I totally thought of that when I came up with the Burger King idea. Was have it your way and the Wishmaster and all that.
I actually thought of Chick-fil-A because you know how they always, my pleasure, their whole thing is to serve you.
No,
but I don't know what Chick-fil-A you go to, you weirdo.
I didn't. You guys are just totally making my intro so much better.
I didn't
immediately find the joke around why the djinn that works at Chick-fil-A wasn't available on Sundays. So.
Oh, I get
right. Couldn't quite rank it in.
I have to go watch a volleyball game and borrow a cell phone.
It's so funny how this movie inspired us. Like, it seriously, like, it inspires so much creative thought. Mm-hmm, you wouldn't expect that from a movie of its, you know,
of its quality. Is that the term you're looking for?
Well, of its bad quality. Because I mean, some weeks I'll admit it's tougher for me to come up with an intro. This week, it felt really easy and natural to come up with one.
Well, we haven't had one of these for a while, and this is a movie from '97, Wishmaster. By the way, everyone listening, that's the movie we're talking about. But the movie looks like it was ripped right out of like '88, '87.
Yeah.
Yeah, intentionally. That was the idea, right?
I guess. Is it? I don't know.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Absolutely. It was. Yeah, the whole.
Somebody says to.
Yeah, the whole idea was that we were gonna. Wes Craven was like kind of pushing producer, kind of pushing to like a return to 80s horror. So he was kind of. It was kind of like a reboot for that, and boy, I think they made the mistake of keeping everything instead of going, worked?
Yeah.
They just said, let's keep everything.
Yeah, they filmed and kept everything, but they also kept it to, as we alluded to at the top of the show, under an hour and a half. Like, it's not that long.
Good job.
Super short. Feels like something you'd see on, like, I don't know, late night TBS back in the 80s. But again, it's so 80s. Like, it doesn't feel like a movie made in the late 90s, like post-Jurassic Park era, almost... you know, we're almost Matrix time. Like, that just seems insane that this exists in that space. You know,
totally does.
It's the most cheese bag freaking throwaway. But I had a ball.
Yeah, it feels like if we stick around after Leprechaun, Wishmaster playing at the same drive-thru.
Yes. I mean, yes.
If you didn't immediately get the flavor of this movie with Angus Scrimm as the narrator into this movie, I mean, what were you even doing?
Well, you got your Freddy Krueger there. Robert Englund's in it.
Yeah, Robert Englund's there.
Yeah. Ted Raimi's brother briefly gets killed and then not later.
He was the Mr. Beaumont.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a few.
Oh, I thought Englund was the Mr. Beaumont.
Oh, yes. That's what I was trying to attach to.
Sorry. I understand.
We moved on to Ted Raimi, I thought. So.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
No, he's Mr. Lomont. He's Smushmont.
That's right. Flomont.
Yeah, Flomont. He's a little more fluid now after his little accident. But the movie is Wishmaster, directed by Robert Kurtzman. This was co-produced by, as you mentioned, I forgot his name.
Wes Craven.
There you go. Wes Craven. It's about a demonic, as Randy calls him, Dijin, attempts to grant his owner three wishes, which allows him to summon his brethren to Earth. That's a simplification of one of the most ridiculous films we've seen in a very long time. So I got to say, I had a really fun time with this terrible. It's a terrible movie. It's not really good at all.
Yeah.
But it's good in a killer clowns from outer space kind of way for me. Like, it's, I know it isn't good, but I had a blast watching it.
I think is
the way of saying it.
It doesn't try to do anything extraordinary or out of the normal, right? I mean, they basically said, here's our lane, we're sticking in our lane. And for being that, they did just fine.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even the trivia is dumb. Like, check out this trivia. Yeah,
the trivia is dumb.
Yeah, it is. It's like here's one that says, in the commentary, it is stated that while filming, someone had broken into one of the sets and stole cameras, making it on the news later that day. Ooh, it made it on the news.
Ooh, on the news?
When the trivia has to go into detail about the kinds of cars that the characters drive, you know there's not a lot of material to work with.
No, like it's, I thought I was going to get all kinds of stuff like this effect was achieved by Zubba 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 or whatever. And none of that. It was just like, normal stuff.
And I was a little disappointed that there wasn't more like, I mean, come on, you got Robert Englund doing... You know, why were there not more Freddy Krueger jokes? I mean,
he was mumbly Mumbleson in this.
Yeah. I mean, they at least should have had him show up in like a Freddy Krueger like shirt and go, what do you think about my shirt? So, you know, I could use some more fun. I could use some more fun in this film. It took itself a little bit too serious, but
I think that's what I like because it doesn't work. Like, the security guard getting melded into the
glass. I'd like to see you go through me.
Yeah, I laughed so hard. I thought that was so stupid.
At least that one made... Well, so I was going to say, at least that one made sense. It really didn't make sense because it didn't wish to go...
Yeah.
I guess this is, well, I wish you'd try and go through me or something like that. But it's...
I'd like to see you, right?
Yeah, I'd like to see you. I guess that's kind of a wish. But Tony Todd's thing of like, I'd just like to escape and do something else. Well, then he... puts them in a Houdini box, underwater, chained up Houdini box. Well, that's kind of the opposite thing of what you asked for.
Yeah,
what you're,
right.
You're because complaining. You're complaining about the basic, most fundamental premise of this film, which is that you corrupt wishes in order to get your way, while also giving somebody slightly a little bit of what they wished for.
Right.
And once that is kind of like wide open, anything is possible. There's no defeating it. Like it's a, like in the end, it's such a letdown when she defeats him with a simple wish, because it's like, no, he's going to easily find a way to corrupt that.
Well, I was surprised when the guard says, I wish you'd leave. And he was like all pissed because he had to turn around and leave. Yeah, and
he was like being sucked toward the door against his will. I loved that.
And
bit.
what I thought there was like, no, you can get around this. Just say, all right, then I will exit by going through your anus and out your mouth, like he could decide some other fancy way of leaving, and he didn't do it, you know. So that stuff was all over the damn place, and that, I don't know, that kind of rubs me wrong. But it's always rubbed me wrong, like all movies with a genie in it, they're all broken. It's like time travel,
you really got to really spend most of your time thinking about the rules of the movie. You know, the rules are what's going to make you or break you. You can't play loose. Yeah. Right, that.
If you find yourself in this situation, folks, you need to really think, really use your brain to survive.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where as I was watching it unfold, and I was watching young Skylar White, I don't know who she is actually, but she looks just like her.
Very, very good. Good pick on that. Like very young Anna Gunn looking.
Oh yeah,
actress.
It was killing me for a while. I was like, wait, who she look like? Who she look like? And it finally hit me. But
I don't understand
you know,
who we're talking about.
Walter White's wife. Yeah, we're talking about Tammy Lauren, who is
Linda
Hamilton.
Hamilton, thank you.
There you go. That works.
Thinking
too.
Her as well. Yeah,
that works too.
But this is the character named Alex, and she was the one who rubbed the ruby gem on her. Rubbed on her breast.
Yeah. She is right. She's okay. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that she's the problem. She's in a bad movie. She's fine.
Oh, she's the best thing in the movie.
I think she does well. Yeah. The best thing? Are you going to say Andrew Devoff? How do you say his name? Devoff? I'm going with Devoff.
Yeah.
Wasn't the best thing?
No, I think he was the best thing. I think he was terrible. I really? The whole movie, I was like, man, if they'd only cast somebody else as the djinn.
Oh, is that the djinn? Okay. All right. Yeah, I kept thinking
that guy was the one of the FBI agents from Die Hard. This guy that we see in everything else. It's different.
Right.
It's absolutely a different guy, but he's very similar to
another guy.
Another guy, a guy that, absolutely, like you said, we see in everything else.
Talking about Agent Johnson.
I mean, we enjoyed him as Boris in Air Force One. I mean,
we did. We enjoyed him in Lost as the guy with the eye patch who ran the Orchid Station.
Oh, that's right. That's
He's
right.
in multiple movies with an eye patch. Does he actually have an eye thing going on? Because I'm looking, if you go to IMDb and you look at Andrew Devoff and you look at his photos.
Yeah, there's something going on. Every time he shows up to a casting call, he goes, well, I could wear an eye patch.
That IMDb photo is absolutely his Lost Dharma.
Yeah.
Plus, for sure. But look at the other stuff down. Look at the small thumbnails.
But it switches eyes, so I don't think that's.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Well, that could be a reverse film. But if you look at that alien head, I don't even know what that's from. Let's see if it says.
That's not a reverse Oblivion? Image because he's got Oblivion. Photos in the background that with words on it that prove that it's not flipped.
Oh, well, maybe. But the point is like.
Wow. This Oblivion movie, by the way, this alien head that he's got an eye patch on. The movie poster says Oblivion, the cult sci-fi classic, which is kind of going out there when you put it on your movie poster.
Yeah.
But then also says it includes Isaac Hayes, Julie Newmar, George Takei, and Carol Streakin, who's that called again? It's called Oblivion.
We should do it.
Yeah.
We should do it.
It's the year 3031. It's Cowboys and Aliens. And this movie came out in 1994, well before Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh man, there's an Oblivion 2 as well. Okay,
all right.
Of course there is,
but nothing to do with the Tom Cruise Oblivion, right?
Nothing like, at all okay. to do no. with that all Oblivion. Right. Nope.
But this guy's cult like, what classic. A what a weird career. He's in things like Air Force One and 48 Hours, and you know, Toy Soldiers, and then he's in Wishmaster and a whole bunch of really bad stuff, and then he's in some pre-production for something called The Hag Witch, Woo, the hag witch.
I want to see the hag witch.
Yeah, coming out.
Did you get that in a value meal? Yes, I'd like one hag witch. And,
I love a hag witch. A ham hag witch. So good. Yeah, he's an interesting choice for this. I didn't like him very much, but
really? I liked him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's fine.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys didn't like him.
Whenever he would talk, like kind of like Ibbot's intro, the whole just, I've come to take three of your wishes. Like that whole
wishes.
Thing.
Yeah. Well, I even wrote that in my notes.
Have you heard Freddy Krueger talk? I mean, come on.
Freddy was like, I'm in your nightmare now. Like he just sort of.
Right. Krueger had different, Krueger did mixed it up. It wasn't always. Come here. I'm going to get you.
That's because they had like, would you like have my like 20. That's because we have like 20 films to reference. I mean, this one does too, but what is he? Is he in all three Wishmasters? I mean,
well, even in the first Nightmare on Elm Street, Robert Englund mixed it up.
I think you're forgetting a lot about
really?
The first one.
Yeah, am I lumping some
I think
later
you're forgetting about the right. I think you're forgetting a lot about the first one.
Maybe. All right. Now, the other Wishmasters, he's not in these. It's some other dude. So.
Yeah. He wished himself out.
Yeah.
Oh. He's trapped in a little red stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, he doesn't have to be the same person because he basically just stole. He stole friend-zoned friend Rex is what his name was. I think what was his friend-zoned name?
Oh, wasn't Rex because it wasn't Alex and
Alex?
Rex.
Alex?
No, Alex was our primary actress.
Yeah, she's Alexandra.
I really liked
Josh. Josh. That was
Josh.
It.
Tennis playing,
friend-zoned
his job, friend-zoned Josh.
I love how everybody was sort of related to the diamond or precious stone business in some way or other.
Yeah. Right.
This happens, you know, she plays tennis with a guy that she's been putting off who's also an expert at looking at precious stones. It's just
right.
Okay, so I had a bunch. I take it back, by the way. He is in two. A bunch of people in the tadpole followed up. Some Frog Pants listeners followed up immediately and watched two after watching this for today's episode.
Uh-huh.
And they're all losing their minds about how they think we should watch two as a follow up because they say it's just like triple insane, just like insanity movie.
I bet so. I think Wishmaster was kind of like, okay, I think they had a good idea, but they didn't have time enough to execute it. And I think if they had time to actually sit back and go, okay, let's look at this. I think two is probably a lot better. I haven't seen it yet, though.
Okay. By the way, there are four of these movies. There are four Wishmasters.
I think four is weird because the way they're listed, I looked through them, and I think one through three were considered horror, and then four was like adventure or something. I was like, okay.
Really?
That's weird.
Let's see. This time, the djinn unleashes his undying love for a beautiful woman in his final attempt to unleash his brethren from hell. I don't know. I can't tell. I can't tell from that what this thing is. But the point is, directed by Chris Angel. Hold on.
Wait. That Chris Angel?
Okay, different Chris Angel. I just confirmed. Different dude. Has same name.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Has to be.
Yeah. No street
it's
magic here.
It's a good
here.
Name. It's yeah. a real good
it's
name.
It's a good name.
It's a great name. If you're going to go do magic on the street in Las Vegas,
great name. Great name for that.
Best name. Anyway, it's I love this when this happens. The director, Robert Kurtzman, he's the man killed by piano wire at the museum gala later in the thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. If I was directing a horror movie, I'd want a cameo in the worst, goriest way possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This is an interesting film with odd ways of people to be, you know, tortured. It's all these party scenes where, you know, the djinn is just basically creating chaotic mayhem and people just having all these just terrible things happen to them. It's a really interesting thing to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even with that, they kind of played it safe, right?
Right.
You know, one woman turns to glass and then she shatters and shoots glass shards all over and rip some guy's face off and the piano wire thing. It's like, man, I would take every single thing in that room and figure out a way to make it some sort of weird torture implement or some.
Yeah. Turn it into the final.
I would make a great djinn.
Yeah. You would. You actually really would. But no, like make the room into like that, like the final destination room, you know, like everything's right. gonna get revenge. I agree.
Really explore the space with your with your torture.
Yeah, they did it more in the first scene than they did in that final.
My conclusion, without getting too far ahead here, is we all kind of come away from this wanting it to be more of a Stephen King movie, just a little more, all the little things, you know.
Yeah,
sure.
Like it reminded me of Maximum Overdrive at several times. Okay. Mostly the way the dialogue was handled, like characters talking to each other, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I just kept thinking, oh, if this was written by Stephen King, you know, there were these little touches would be like, it wouldn't be better. You know what I'm saying? 80s Stephen King adaptations were terrible, right?
But right.
It's just like.
There would have been more subtext to play around in your imagination with a Stephen King story, whereas this was just kind of on the face of everything. It's like, well, he's here to cause mayhem, and your wishes aren't what you think they are, and oh boy, every time you make a wish, he'll turn from Vern Troyer mode to a bigger version of himself, and you know.
I've seen Wishmaster, and I had totally did not remember the Vern Troyer thing. That was just totally outside my memory.
I mean, I'm you'd like, never even know unless you look it up anyway, right? Like, it's such a weird moment that
I don't remember him being in like a pupil phase and then slowly morphing into this whatever it is after he kills somebody. By the way, I meant to look up the trope. What is the trope of you finding something? Okay, so I got a primary character, they've found something weird, but they have a friend, you know, that works in a lab somewhere, and then they send that thing to the lab researcher, then the lab researcher ends up dead.
Yeah.
So that seems to happen a lot.
Yeah. Oh, like, I know.
Gremlins.
I
know. Yeah, that happens a lot in movies. Is that a trope of some sort?
It's absolutely a trope. Mm. It's absolutely a trope. That is, I can't get over how many times someone's friend who happens to be an expert at something gets killed by the thing.
Yeah. It's like, here, look at this. I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is? I don't know what it is. Here, look at it. I'll be back later. You'll be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't live.
Yeah. He, by the way, Vern Troyer didn't, nobody knew him then, so it wasn't until 99 that he was in Spy Who Loved Me, so it was we were ways off, which by the way that seems
Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, Spy, or was it Shagged? Yeah, you're right, the Spy Who Shagged,
shagged Me.
Yeah, Spy Who Loved Me.
Why gotta emphasize that?
Yeah,
no, because let's separate this from an actual James Bond film. Also, I'm trying to stave off a few emails.
Yeah,
good job.
Well done, actually. You did both things at once, and it was successful. But yeah,
we need to get rid of those Jason Voorhees fans. You can't just call the Marriott guard the guy that got walked through. You know, it's Kane Hodder.
Oh, is that a guy we know? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Voorhees guy. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he looks so stupid outside of the Voorhees.
Yeah. It's funny. I watch a lot of
as opposed to being so smart and dashing in that hockey movie.
Like, I don't know what I expected there, but yeah.
I watch a lot of horror movies, and so I kind of like hit those boards and stuff for horror films, and it always seems like the Friday the 13th people are always way more strict with their trivia than, you know, like a Nightmare on Elm Street or something. It's just know.
Yeah, those are purists. Right. Those people.
Purist.
So that scene reminded me weirdly, and I had a conversation with somebody on Twitter about this. It reminded me of Star Trek, like early TNG.
Interesting.
When there was something about the effects work that made me think of, oh, this is like that episode where they had that dude get take over by a worm and then he exploded on the Enterprise.
The very end. That was the best. We watched it here on FilmSec.
Yeah, and I think we did. Yeah,
we did.
There's something about the effects there that specifically with the guard and the you know, him getting fused into the bars and getting walked through that just made me you guys had a TV budget.
This was 1997, well after Jurassic Park, and this looked like Lawnmower Man effects, right?
Oh,
digitally,
bad.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Now, the practical effects were pretty good. I like the costuming and the practical effects, but
they're okay. That cop with his chest flayed open, like there was a lot of Hellraiser business in this thing, which you mentioned the writer and stuff, but there's definitely like a feeling of like, oh, okay, well, this is Hellraiser town. The homeless guy's getting tortured. Here's the cop with his chest flayed open. You know, here's whatever. Like, that all felt like I was expecting Pinhead to walk out and go, by Quattro C or whatever, you know.
You're coming to hell with me.
Yeah.
And take him off. Yeah.
I didn't tell you guys how I went on a comic binge for Hellraiser comics.
Oh my gosh. No.
Oh, really?
Not Hellblazer. That's a whole different thing on DC Vertigo. Yeah. But what's the first one?
Hellraiser.
Jeez.
Oh, Hellraiser.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Hellraiser in comic form, and there's tons of it. I didn't know there was so much of this stuff, but I read, I don't know, 100 issues or something. It's really good. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's all right. The comics go way deeper. At one point, Pinhead comes back to Earth and is a normal dude again. And you don't know whether or not he's there to do something bad or if he's just trying to finally find a way out of this, this Pinhead job. And it's a fascinating little
Cinnabites are really, they're delicious.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
There you go.
Cinnabites.
Nailed it. This Tammy Lauren never did much else.
No.
She did some things.
She did
She's
work.
She's got a big bio.
Yeah, a bunch of TV stuff, which is fine. Some comedy, Young and the Restless for some reason. It's an acting job. let's see. Marital Law, Home Improvement, Drew Carey Show.
It's all like pop in, do a couple episodes. There's something called Wanda at Large that she did six episodes of. But I don't think
she hung around forever.
Yeah. But then she just suddenly stopped doing stuff in 2014. She did a Criminal Minds episode before that, the 2010. So 4 years before that was the last thing. So, and that was it. She's like, I'm done. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't need to.
She had rabies or something, right? In that one, Criminal Minds?
She had rabies? Really?
Really? I don't remember. No, that was about rabies. I remember that. I don't remember.
Oh, it's an episode called Rabid. Yeah, you're right. How do you know that about the Criminal Minds episode?
Man, do you have any idea how many times Criminal Minds plays in this house? I don't watch it.
Really?
But my significant other does.
Yeah.
Good Lord. We're like on our fifth run through of this film, of this series. I mean, it's
really?
Just,
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. We go to sleep with Criminal Minds playing.
You are an odd duck.
I'm not odd.
So
I live with someone odd.
This is hilarious to me because she's... Oh, interesting. Okay, so she's mostly comedy and then does this, and this ends up being the thing she's known for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an odd thing in your career, right?
She's great, though. Yelling, every time she gets to the tipping point, she's hilarious. Because every time she's got these big wide eyes, and it's like, oh, no, I'm in big trouble. And then all of a sudden, she's had enough, and she'll just tell him to F off.
Yep.
Or,
it was great. Yeah.
Great, I love it.
She'd be like, he'd be like, Robert Englund, and have her in his hands, and he's shaking her, and she's screaming,
and her
eyes are all big, and then she suddenly go, "It's okay, I'm fine."
That was the most. That was the weirdest thing to me, is that when at the end of most of the tortures, where he's collecting, he's making single wishes for trades for souls, like with the homeless guy,
right?
At the end of each one of those, the person ends up screaming, but then she's like. She's freaking out when they bring back to her character, and so that's a really weird thing. I'm like, yeah, there's no way. I mean, if she was freaking out like every couple of hours, she would definitely be locked up somewhere, like total meltdown.
Yeah,
and she's got the ultimate plot armor here, right? Like he doesn't hurt her too bad on the way to getting her to give him three wishes, which is bizarre to me. Like as soon as she starts resisting him, I'm like, okay, I'm going to turn to this doorman and get him to give me three wishes. You know, like doorman is a pretty simple character here. I got one out of him. So I'm a third of the way there. Like I just didn't understand why she was so special to the djinn. Like why not? You know what I mean? Like,
is there like some kind of special relationship with the person who releases you from that? Is there like extra rules? Because there's like some things that I didn't know until I read the trivia, like the djinn, he can't do anything that directly affects him. So when she, they've kind of displayed that when she made him shoot himself at the head. But you can't make any wish that directly relates to him. It has to be something like secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't get those rules.
No, but I don't ever lay them out.
I will tell you. Yeah. I will tell you one thing. Mm. I'm never pissing off a homeless guy because George Buck is full of venom.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Educated idiot.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell what the heck thing was the Chinese gangbang, Hopefully you have that captured.
Oh my God.
I did not capture that because I thought it was, I thought it was a little too,
he was racist.
So much venom, man.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite thing in the movie. It just blew my mind that in the middle of this horror movie, there was this like really well portrayed street scene. You know what I mean? Like in the front of a store. It was just like everything about it, like the characterization, the costume, the makeup, the direction of the whole thing. It was, I was just like, what is this doing in this movie?
Yeah.
It was like a vignette that got plopped into the movie.
They actually had a bona fide true bum, George Buck Flower, who's played a bum and Back to the Future, everything. They Live.
It helps when you're missing all of your front teeth.
Bona fide. What's that mean?
He's bona fide homeless actor. I don't know if he's actually bona fide homeless, but I homeless actor. Yes, homeless or actor of homelessness. How's that?
He does that all the time.
I would hope all these jobs put him in a home.
Yeah, you never know.
We gave him money for a home. Yeah. So here we go. I found it. So his slew of insults. It's like a crap sandwich, right? It begins with you big bald-headed baboon, which is G-rated for sure. Yeah. Educated idiot, G-rated for sure. And then in the middle of those two, it's miscomplected afterbirth of a Chinese gangbanger.
Jeez. Like,
ramps up to 60 and then back down to zero.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Oh my gosh, Dunaway, you were not wrong. Back to the Future played the bum on the park bench when the car came back. They Live, he was a drifter. That's all this guy did.
I'm sorry, when you look like this, you're not going to get cast in the lead opposite Katherine Heigl in a rom-com.
Well, but you're right
into what he's got.
You're right, but he did this. Okay, here's another one. Once in a while he was something like a prison guard or whatever, but like here's another one. Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, homeless man. Let's see, Bloodsuckers, he was grandpa. Okay, that's cool. Wishmaster, homeless, we got that. Let's see, somebody, Black Dawn, he was drunken man. Dark Breed, homeless man. Like, this is his job. This is what this is what Hollywood was for him. It's fantastic.
Love it.
His bio begins with his IMDb bio. There aren't many actors who can claim that they appeared in everything from innocuous family features to sexy softcore smut to popular television programs to various horror science fiction exploitation movies, as well as work behind the scenes on a slew of films and assorted production capabilities throughout the course of their careers.
Yeah,
who can say that?
I can barely say that.
Right. That's a long ass paragraph.
I love the fact that like he's Back to the Future and then apparently some softcore porn.
Yep.
So you know
homeless
he would
watching softcore porn. Yeah.
Now see, whoever wrote that would have been good at wish making because that was very specific. You you couldn't wiggle out of that one.
Yeah, no.
Stupid chin.
Yeah. And I see these movies like right next we got Wishmaster right next to They Live in my listing here. They Live 88, Wishmaster 97. You could have told me those movies were flipped in their production.
Right.
Years, and
right,
I would believe you. Like that's just so John, I cannot get
John
over
Carpenter
that.
Really loved this guy, Buck Flower, and he was in a bunch of John Carpenter films, and one of his best quotes, I just found this quote from Buck Flower about why he was always cast as drunks, bums, this kind of thing. He said, "Probably because I look like a dirty drunk and a drifter. They say we play best what we are. God, I hope that's not true."
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, he died not too many years later. He was only 66 when he passed. Yeah. But,
our composer died like this year, the year this came out.
Oh, who's kind of stabbing. Who's the composer?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's a different movie.
Okay. All right.
I hate when I do this because I watched. Really? I try never to watch a movie in between film sack. And the actual recording.
You did it.
I accidentally watched another movie.
Well, we had a day. We had to bump. Yeah. So
it was my fault. Yeah.
I know. I keep wanting to talk about how great Florence Pugh was in this film.
Yeah. She just plain old wasn't in it. Crazy enough. She just wasn't in it.
I watched Matthew McConaughey play a weirdo trucker from a movie about the same time period. That's what I'm getting all confused about.
What's it called? Tell us.
It's actually a Bill Murray vehicle.
Yeah.
Larger than life, where he inherits the elephant. I think that's right. Is that from his dad?
I don't remember.
Okay. It was like one of the first McConaughey trails, I suppose, or something. Because he was
Bill
like
Murray, Matthew McConaughey, listed, Jerry Adler.
Yeah, he was listed way down in the credits.
How was it? Was it all right?
Oh, it was so stupid, but I loved
it. Is it all right?
It's all right. It's literally, it's all right, all right, all right. He keeps getting more truckery. And
I realized I had to really push that joke.
There was like a 5-year period there where Janine Garofalo must have had the best agent in Hollywood. She was in everything for about 5 years. She got to star in a couple of movies, like as the lead. Like, what a weird time. Janine Garofalo. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Hey, Dunaway, tell me about Harve Presnell in this film. He played Toll Bridge Powers in your movie you just watched. Now, the reason I bring this up is this is Wade from the Fargo movie.
Oh,
I am okay.
My deal, Wade. It's my deal.
Yeah, it's my deal, Wade. My deal. Yeah, the whole thing. Anyway, how was he? Was he good?
I don't really remember, to be honest with you. I think after I tried to figure out when Matthew McConaughey first shows up in this film. He runs into him in like a trucker restaurant or something, and I didn't even recognize him. Mm. I kept going, that voice is familiar, because he's got like a beard and long hair, and it took me almost about 2 or 3 minutes before I was like, oh my God, that's Matthew McConaughey playing Tip Tucker. So I don't know. I was really kind of sidetracked with the whole thing.
The year before this movie, 1996. I don't think I ever saw it, and from your description, I don't know that I ever will.
I think it's on Pluto TV free. It's got little ads and stuff. I just turned it on while I was doing other things. So it was interesting. It was a fun little romp.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You've convinced me. I've turned around. Yeah. I'm going to watch it now.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going
to
watch it.
You don't have to watch it.
All right. Back to this thing. Did you guys, let me push this button and then we can talk about it. Where is it? Here it is. I can't find it. Okay.
Gross.
What do you think grossed me out in this movie? It's none of the effects, I can tell you now.
Besides Josh's armpits?
Yeah, besides
you said it. That was so real.
It was like real. Weird how this movie goes from crazy, like supernatural nonsense to two people playing tennis. Well shot.
Yeah.
They use some good equipment out there to really, really get it. You know, they're sweating, they're wearing normal clothes.
Yeah. You've got wavy pit hair. Ugh. So gross, but that is not it. That is not what grossed me out the most. I will say it's the same guy, if that's any kind of hint. Same dude.
Oh, so Josh did something twice. Okay, let's see.
And it wasn't
was it when Josh took off his nasty, sweaty hat and put it on?
Oh, put it on her head.
On Alex.
No, but you're warm.
In that scene?
Can I just unpack that real quick? Because it bugged the hell out of me that at the end of the movie, she's the only person in the world. There's a trope here at the end of the movie. She knows that there's something horrible could have happened, but it was averted.
Right. Well, does she though?
Yes, clearly. Because she's a different person. She's like coming on to him. Yeah. She's throwing the kisses on him. All this stuff, right? So there's clearly something. She's changed.
Which shouldn't have happened because she was not affected by the statue falling on Raimi.
Okay.
So she shouldn't have been affected. She doesn't have the memory of the whole Wishmaster experience.
I agree.
But she wasn't there during the Ted Raimi fall, though.
Well, so how would she be affected by that?
Yeah, that's entirely Brian's
point. She's clearly a changed person. That's not my
complaint. All right, okay.
My complaint is that a deal is made of the hat, the ball cap. The ball cap is shown early on, like it's Chekhov's ball cap or something.
Yeah, everything is Chekhov's.
And then it comes back in this last scene, and she puts it on him, and he turns it around, and I'm like, what story are they trying to tell with this stupid hat? Right. Why is this happening?
Yeah, because it goes back and forth between the two of them when they're flirting with the date. Originally,
right,
like, oh, how about dinner or movie? Hat. Nope. How about hot dog and a ball game?
This is what happens when you take a makeup artist who primarily does makeup artist stuff and directs a few movies.
Is that Robert Kurtzman? Oh, Kurtzman is a makeup dude. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's mostly a makeup dude. Almost 90% makeup dude.
His entire career is like as a manager of a special effects team.
Oh, wow.
Right.
And like at the same time that he was making this movie, he was managing some special effects people for Boogie Nights, which I would like to believe that he personally put the long dong on what's his name? But I would just say Dirk Diggler. But I'm not – it probably wasn't true that he actually personally did it. I just like to think – that he did because it's funny.
Yeah, he does like a lot of funny? Current stuff in this role as well. Like runs an entire department for that Haunting of Hill House series is really good, and he did that.
He's really good at that. I mean, from what I've seen as far as the work that was put out, but yeah, he had a little short time where like he tried to do some directing. I'm not saying he did a bad job. I just think that when you're an inexperienced director, you feel like you have to make everything mean something and it has to show up. It's like, okay, we got this. We got to show it up at the end. We got to like the stillness thing. That was totally unnecessary. Yeah. That whole coaching that the whole thing for her coaching was just so that she could put in the stillness thing, which she kind of didn't really use. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did, but she didn't really make effect of it.
Well, not to mention the death of auction house owner's mom, who's just basically there to sign something, put her name on a thing, get on a plane, and have the plane explode.
Right. I mean, Chris Lemon. That's a Lemon boy there. Yeah. Chris.
So there's still this thread hanging over us, and I just want to answer it from my perspective. Over the years, I've gotten to where I a little bit watch movies thinking of how Scott Johnson is going to feel about every little
thing. Yeah, he's going to be grossed out by. Yeah.
And in this movie, the thing that really stuck with me as you know, Scott's in my head was there's a scene near the end where the djinn is face to face with Tony Todd. They're not indoors. They're not in a loud place.
No.
There is no reason for them to be kissing distance from each other. But their breath was so intermingled. They were so close. Yeah. And I'm just like, why that are they so like close?
They were sharing the same oxygen and carbon dioxide right there.
And it was just just getting me grossed out for some reason. Like, you do not need to be so close to each other now. What is happening?
I agree. I don't want to kiss Tony Todd is what I'm saying. No.
Right.
It was the boyfriend or the eventual boyfriend. And it's when he was working in his lab trying to figure out what's going on with that stone before it exploded and all of that. He at one point lifts his glasses up to his forehead. His glasses covered in smeary freaking face grease. It is so gross.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even
if you got a greasy T-zone, don't pull those glasses up to your forehead.
It's really bad. Like greasy, like so thick. I don't know how he was seeing through them. And I kept thinking, you're not going to have those on. Like, you're going to clean those.
There's two types of people in this world. There's people who see filth on glasses and people who see nothing.
Yeah, and I see filth on them. I see him a mile away, and this was filthy, like fingerprinty. The camera hit him just right, so it was like you could see all the prints. Like, it was just, I don't know how many. He's got 400 bacteria types just sitting there on the surface of his glasses. So gross. Probably some poo, you know, a little bit of poo.
If we've learned anything in trivia in the last 10 years, is that everything is covered in fecal matter.
Yeah.
Certainly, if we've learned anything on Mondays on TMS trivia, between the two of you, everything's got fecal matter on it.
Yeah, everything's got poo on it. By the way, this director made a movie in 2010, his last film directing. It's made plenty of stuff since. So 11 years ago, called Deadly Impact, with Sean Patrick Flannery, half of the Boondock Saints, and Joey Pants is in it. And I'm just saying, maybe we should see that. You know,
maybe we should see it.
Yeah, they're trying to get it.
What do you guys think about Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon's son in this film?
Oh, what?
He's the Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon. It's Jack Lemon's son there. Yeah, he's the smoozer. He's the one trying to make all the money. His mom dies, right?
Oh, he's the auction house owner. Yes.
Yeah.
He's the one with the mom dying. Yes.
Yeah.
Really? That's Jack Lemon's son.
Like always hanging out right behind Alex and
But it's kind of funny because like they did that
clearly on coke.
Yeah.
Clearly,
clearly on coke. Absolutely.
Wow. So. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah, I love that.
Jack
I was
Lemon's
like,
son.
Yeah, I didn't know it was him either until I was like, who's this? I've seen this guy in other things. I started doing some research.
You sure isn't Jack Lemonson? It's not just Lemonson. It's a Lemon's
son. No, it's Lemon's Jack. If you look him up, he's Jack Lemon. That's Jack Lemon's son.
Chris Lemon's guy is. Oh yeah, look at this.
Chris Lemon.
Again, really sad when you go to IMDb and the thing you're known most for is Wishmaster.
Yeah.
You know.
This Chris Lemon guy, the thing that you need to fix on IMDb is your stupid profile picture.
You can't even see him. He's not even there, is he?
Are you a professional actor?
It's his nose on the far right of his IMDb photo.
I don't know that he is. Like, if you look at his career, it's short. And he's not done,
And it made me sad because I was like, oh, because I actually kind of thought he was funny. I thought the one thing that I actually laughed out loud about was when she was looking at the gym and she was all, you know, the camera was tight in on her. And then suddenly they, you know, they bounced a middle shot and he's standing right there next to her and scares her. Hmm. And like, he's such a cocaine creep. I love it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, he lives in like Connecticut, says here, doesn't do any. Yeah, he's just not. He's not.
He's got Jack Lemmon money. He don't need to work.
Yeah, he's just got Jack Lemmon money. I mean, I can't say if you're not really that interested in acting. Although lately, in 2021, he's like in two things. He's in something in 2015. Like he does shit.
He does stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just nothing that sadly topped the success. The popularity of Wishmaster.
Yeah, or his father's career. You know, like anything his dad did.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Like one movie from his dad. Yeah, it's fine.
But once again, that's okay. I mean, we always assume that every actor wants to be, you know, the highest paid actor, wants to be the best actor. And that's just not true. I mean, sometimes maybe just like get in a movie. It's like, especially, it's in a movie.
Yeah. Especially these guys in this movie, all of them are known, you know, for like doing other things, not necessarily for acting, right? Mm-hmm. Like Ted Raimi looking exactly like Josh Charles. It was like, he's not an actor. You know what I mean? Like he's acting. He's clearly having fun looking exactly like Josh Charles, mm-hmm. but he's not like he's got other things he wants to do as a filmmaker, right?
Yeah. Wait, Josh Charles, help me. Who is that? Why can't I think of that name?
Josh Charles, Sports Night.
Looks just like this guy.
Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead.
You know what I'm thinking of is that makeup YouTuber kid. it's a name like that, something Charles. And he's super popular because he...
Huh. Dead Poets Society, Scott?
Hold on.
YouTube. All right, I'm still thinking of the YouTube guy.
Makeup. Hold on.
Charles. Oh, you're looking at the other guy. I'm just like, well, you're Josh Charles.
I need to know his name. Oh, James Charles. That's his name. Never mind. Never mind. I don't know why I even know that. I shouldn't know that. That's not a thing to know.
I'm sure you do. You should know that.
I don't want to know that. Yeah, all right. That. This is a movie full of deaths. Do we have a favorite death? I have one. It's the guy in the Popo police station. Taking the face off the restraining cop. I thought that was great.
Oh, God, that was rough. Chin off the guy. Yeah. We don't know that guy died. He's just walking around chinless. Yeah. It's officer, officer no chin now.
Yeah. He just looks like Frank Burns now. He's fine. I feel like that was, that's true. I don't know if he died, so I don't know if this counts, but that was my favorite little moment of potential
favorite
death.
Body horror moment.
Yeah.
The movie's full of it.
It's not even a question for me. I mean, the thing that was the most unique death of watching a skeleton try to escape a body, because it makes absolutely sense.
Yeah.
Because how can a skeleton escape a body? I mean, it's the weirdest thing. But I loved it.
It was very weird. And it was the most CG in the movie, except for the security guard.
The whole beginning is so much. It sets up so much that doesn't really pay off in the rest of it. Feels like, oh, this is going to be great. There's going to be a lot of weird, twisted body horror things. And they kind of used 70% of it up in the opening
scene. I think they probably filmed the opening scene last. And so I think they probably were like,
well, I guarantee
they knew what they wanted by that point.
I know what they filmed the cheapest, and that's the interior of the stone. So like anytime they were inside that stone, there was like cray paper on the walls. That was shit.
Did we really need so much movie after her wish of wanting to see how he lives? Like it just, I don't know. It just, you know,
<That's> weird.
I love that Muppet chasing her through the halls though. That was
right.
That gave me joy.
Yeah. That was all right. That felt
like the least creative part of the movie. Like that wish could have been something more substantial that he twists more, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But it is pretty funny, you know, just the idea of like, what's it like inside where a genie lives? And normally we have that imagination with a more whimsical take, like we're inside the lamp where the genie lives and it's all pillows and freaking, you know, incense in here.
So you're going Barbara Eden then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, she had couches. Yeah. She had like a nice round couch in there.
Yeah. Why would she leave?
Yeah. It was super stylish. But now we're inside this dude's stone and it looks like, you know, you're in an artery of a dying man or something. It was,
yeah. It he's just an artery of a dying man, but he's got his throne. He's got his throne.
Of course you got your, you got to have your throne. Where else are you going to sit when you're not out there, you know? Have your throne.
For me, on like practical effects, I love the fact, or stunts rather, I love the fact that they actually put Tony Todd right into a tank of water. Like,
oh, yeah, that was great.
It just, they dropped him in there. That was real. Yeah. There was not any sort of fakery around that. That dude was in a tank of water. Like,
that's a really good scene.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with it. I hope he got paid a little extra.
Had to have been right around the time that he was playing Jake Sisko on that episode of DS9. It would have been about that year.
Hmm. And we might mention that later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Star Trek.
Of course we will, yes.
Spoilers.
Yeah, but Tony Todd, but, you know, it's total stunt casting here. It's like,
yeah.
Who's another horror guy that everybody thinks of? Tony Todd, get him in here.
Yeah.
Who was missing of the, you know, Robert Englund? Who was missing? Who else?
We didn't have Michael Myers.
Donald Pleasance would be a good addition.
I'm trying to think who's got a face.
Is Vincent Price dead by then?
it would have to be somebody without a mask, right? You can't have Michael Myers in there. That'd be weird.
I mean, it should have been like, you know, would it be Tyler Mayne or Nick Castle who would have been in the
Nick Castle, maybe. Yeah. Like, that's the same level as the, you know, having the security. I guess the security guard is kind of one of those cameos. Like, I didn't know it until you told me, but now that I know that's the dude that plays Jason Voorhees, that makes sense. He didn't look that big, I guess is my point. He's supposed to be a big fucking dude, right? Or maybe he is.
No, I forgot Kane Hodder was playing. I forgot he played also Leatherface. I forgot about that. So he kind of covered both. That was a good pick.
Yeah, that's cool. But I don't, you know, I mean, these are just calling him favors, I assume, because this is, you know,
Wes Craven. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Wes Craven going, hey, we got this little project.
I definitely
going.
Would have liked a Pinhead cameo somewhere in the background, maybe in all the horror. I would like to have seen that, like him coming out and then going, getting like a nope face on and turning back around, walking back out of the room.
Yeah. Or the vagina neck lady. She could have shown up. That would have been fine. There's a really cool, she has a really cool comic arc, by the way, that lady does. But the lumpy one with the dark glasses, the round glasses,
he's
just a throwaway. They don't care about him in the comics either.
They don't care. Yeah, I was gonna say he is in the movies as well. Yeah, so
he's lump. Just there. He's lump.
He's lump. He's in your head. But yeah, like you know, the movie had other opportunities maybe to do some other fun stuff, but I don't know, for what it is, which is a really weird thing. I had fun with this damn thing. Like, I didn't expect to have fun with it. I thought I was going to hate this. And I kind of didn't hate it. I kind of want to see the next one so I can laugh at those two. You know? So at some point.
I'm really interested in part two now. Yeah, I think.
I kind of am too.
I've definitely seen the first one.
You want to know if they don't always thwart him by doing the same thing. Well, I wish the thing that caused you to come out didn't happen, so you never came out.
Yeah.
Right.
Because otherwise it's a very predictable series of movies.
The movie was so proud of itself for that. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, what if the wish was like, in the writer's room, were they stoked about their terrible simplistic
idea? I got it.
Yeah. It's like, what if we just unwished the whole thing? It's just so dumb, dude. And if anything, it just illustrates why, you know, genie movies are stupid. Now, Aladdin kind of got it right because... you know, they distract you with relationships and whimsy and music and
they set up all the rules at the very beginning, of the genie, right? He says, all right, first off, no, you can't wish for more wishes, blah blah blah. And our djinn, first thing he does is give her a free sample.
I'll give you a free sample wish. She's like the
first
Chinese
one's free,
place
just
in the
so
mall.
You can see how it works.
Yeah, like, here's, come have free sample.
For example,
it's lame,
it'll
dude.
Be good.
So yeah, like, there's just, I don't know. There's part of me is like, oh, okay, well, let's put this behind us. But part of me is like, no, we should watch two.
I actually kind of like about this movie that it didn't explain itself too much. Mm. Like, it just kind of barreled forward without stopping to tell me why things were happening. Like, it because it's okay. It's not like terribly broken as a story, you know?
Well, do you think the movie's worthy of, like, okay, so, you know, when you have Freddy characters like Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, these kind of characters, Michael Myers, they tend to live well past the prime of their movies. And you see them and you immediately know who they are, even if they haven't made a movie in 30 years. It doesn't matter. They're these iconic horror tropey characters. I'm sure every movie that ever gets made wants to do that. A horror movie. They want to have their guy go on to be iconic or whatever. Do you think this genie ever had a chance? Like, were we ever going to see him?
Know.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Too heavily makeup to, and I mean, Freddie got a lot of makeup though too. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think he could.
It's not so much makeup as it's the full deal. He's got like demon armor and everything. Like it's,
yeah.
You're right. It feels out of place, right? Those other guys at least. Uh-huh. Oh, here he is in his red and black striped sweatshirt that he dyed when they threw him in the oven. And he's got that hat and, you know, he's got a lot of makeup on, but that's okay. Cause it's all about silhouette. And this guy's got a terrible silhouette.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like a blob.
Yeah.
There's nothing really to it.
Yeah. He's like,
I don't know. It's a good question though.
He's like dungeon trash, this guy.
Plus, he's not.
That's interesting. I never thought of him as a boss because they don't go to any length to make him charming. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any kind of interesting character, you know?
Yeah.
Like they could have, like, unfortunately, we watched Devil's Advocate a few months ago, and I just kept thinking, wow, if Al Pacino had been in this character, ooh. Oh my goodness! How interesting would he have been?
Oh,
so
yeah,
charming,
for sure.
You know?
Oh, a lot more for sure. Like,
yeah,
a hell of a lot more interesting. But you know, whatever. He commanded a bunch of statues. That was kind of cool. You know,
the statue stuff was great. Yeah, the Neptune statue that throws the pitchfork, the trident, looked great as far as no cracks or rubber latex folds or things like that when he turns his head.
Yeah, all those looked pretty good, I thought.
We had a director who was a makeup artist. Now, he did a really good job of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Mannequin lady, like the lady who turns into a mannequin.
Oh, yeah, I felt bad for her. I would also like to refer to her as the chick in the bucket. They did make a couple of references to her, but when she turned into a thing, it wasn't even obvious what was happening to me. Like, at the time, I was like, wait, what? Oh, she's the man. Okay, the mannequin. All right, great. But
it's done completely off screen, right? Where, your beauty fades. Would you like to have your beauty forever? Okay, poof. And then it's a cutaway. And then the lady walks by, and as you see, she's the mannequin in the background. So it's not like you even see that happening to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's the only one that didn't scream either, because I think everybody else, when they got cursed.
Yeah.
Oh, right. She just rolled her eyes back and is like,
She was like, she just rolls her eyes like, well, whatever. But we never got any
name tag and look just like the employee I hired.
Yeah. But we never got any follow up with her. We just never got any kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was looking for.
We didn't see any real regret. Like the bum, oh my gosh. He really regretted what he did.
Oh,
he did. That was rough watching. I mean, that's like a top 10 fear for people is cancer, and watching it just evolve like right there within seconds.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather have that? Like, let's say you're going to get terminal cancer. Like, it was 100% guaranteed that you were going to die.
How about neither? Can I choose neither?
You can choose neither. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
But,
say what you will about a chest burster. It's over. The pain is over quickly.
Right.
Like, that'll end you in a few minutes
This is the biggest thing that's changed about me over the years watching horror movies. When I was young, it was like, oh my God, that would be a terrible way to die. But then I'm like, but now I look more like and go, oh my God, it would be terrible if you had to keep living while witnessing that. if you die, then you're just dead.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah. You know, the fear goes away from, that's how I think of it. Like when you're younger, you're worried about, you know, I don't want to die that way. But now as you get older, you're like, well, I don't want to die there and then have one of my kids find me like that.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm fine. I'll that's be dead. Who cares? You know, the big deal. But they'll find me and it'll be awful. And that's a funny evolution. I think everybody probably goes through that. But
I'm sure everybody does.
Yeah. But in the case of the cancer guy, I mean, it was all part of the deal, right? It's like, you asked for the thing and I'm going to do it in a way you didn't expect. And it's going to be super rapid. And I sat there and thought, no, this would be worse if you drug this out for 3 years of horrible, slow body erosion.
We wouldn't
cancer.
Get to see it, though.
Yeah.
And the pharmacy guy really is the one of the few collateral damage characters in this thing.
Oh, right.
He doesn't do the wish. Okay, well, the only.
No, there's so much collateral damage in this movie.
Well, okay, all right. All the Persian stuff. The
parties,
beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, the parties.
The party people. Yeah. But I guess directly related to one of the wishers.
Right.
But doesn't do the horror movie thing where he's bad as well. And so it's kind of like, well, he kind of got what he deserved anyway. He just asked this homeless guy to quit loitering in front of the.
I mean, he was doing more than loitering. He was like Garfield's suction cup to a window.
I'll just wait here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But you're right. Everybody else who had a direct
kind of Twilight
experience.
Zone deserved it.
Yeah,
except for that guy.
Yeah. Now the bad part of the parties is nobody else there had any reason to be directly connected to a wish. They just were at the party.
Right.
But in this case,
but you knew they had to be jerks if they were hanging out.
Totally,
with that
this
guy,
gala,
right?
charity museum, raise money for a museum gala. Oh.
Yeah.
Deserved it.
Yeah, they deserved it. No one likes those hoity-toits. Nobody.
Hoity-toits.
Hey, you guys, let's talk about BetterHelp for a second. I really like BetterHelp a lot. And you have to ask yourself questions sometimes, like, what interferes with your happiness or prevents you from achieving goals? Well, BetterHelp will assess you with those needs. I hope you answer that question. And they're going to match you with your own licensed professional therapist, which is important for this sort of thing. You connect in a safe and private online environment. And it's really convenient as a result. You never have to sit through any kind of uncomfortable waiting rooms or sift through a bunch of weird paperwork before you get in there or any of that. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. And BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And financial aid's available as well, which is pretty great. And they're available for clients worldwide. So not just the lower 48. You can be anywhere and take advantage of the services that are available at BetterHelp. Everything you share is confidential. That's really important. And, they actually have a bunch of great testimonials, too. Everyone's like, well, wait, I know you're saying it's cool, but how about other people? You get a site listed full of those. You can find those over at their website. Really, really good stuff. It's convenient, it's professional, it's affordable, and they can help you with everything from depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, anger, grief, relationships, family conflicts, all that stuff. You're having sleep problems, they'll help you with that too. So many people have been using BetterHelp, they've been recruiting new people, new counselors in all 50 states, so you can get the help you need. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/filmsack. And join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/FilmSack for 10% off your first month. Big thanks to BetterHelp.
Any shop girl can be a top girl.
I've got a lot of clips. Not a lot, but a fair number of clips that we can enjoy together. And I think we should do that. So I'm going to play them. Here's the start of one. This is Freddie. He has a bit of a lisp. If you listen closely, you can hear it. Listen for the lisp on Freddy.
I've waited 10 years.
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 I've waited 10 years.
Like, years.
Sounds like a certain next door neighbor from a certain, TV show.
Huh? Huh? Oh.
A TV show?
Wait, who? Now I don't know who this is. Wait, let me think for a minute.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor? What do we got? What do we got?
Not Tim. It's so funny. The first neighbor scenario.
I know.
It's
the first neighbor that I can think of.
Well, I mean, when she was on, I was already prime because she was on Home Improvement. So I already had those TV shows in my head.
Oh, yeah. The girl was, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Randy, what do you mean? Like who?
It doesn't sound like Herbert the Pervert to you?
Oh, a little bit.
Okay. I see. Yep,
yeah, a little bit.
I've waited 10 years.
Yeah, you want some popsicles?
I've been waiting for 10 years.
Hey, Chris. Chris, you want some popsicles, Chris? All right, here's a freak out. Here's a Jesus freak out. Enjoy.
Jesus Christ!
That's pretty good.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's as loud as Robert Englund got, by the way. The rest of this movie, he mumbles in every scene. I can't hear him. I can't freaking hear him. Yeah. He's the worst.
I think he feels more comfortable in makeup. He's like, oh, I feel so naked.
Yeah, that might be it. All right. Hate this guy. Here, enjoy.
Oh, hold on.
It's the boyfriend. Listen to that one more time.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude. What the hell was he even saying?
She was saying, well, isn't that a something something? And he goes, hold on now. Hold on.
So he's saying, hold on.
Oh, hold on.
Hold on.
That doesn't sound like English at all.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. All right. Here's that guy talking.
I can ease your suffering.
Okay, Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah. There was a point where they zoomed in on his face too, really close, and did the Emperor Palpatine eye shot.
You're right. I didn't even think about that. All right, here's she likes to pause a lot, this actress, and here's an example of that. I have a couple of these today.
He was analyzing a gemstone.
Yeah, she had to really think about it.
Am I having a stroke, or am I having trouble understanding everybody in this so far? Every clip you played, I don't understand.
They're all the audio. How should I put this? The dialogue in the movie, all of it is kind of hard to understand.
Interesting.
Like my, I kept running into this problem where I'd have to rewind and go, "What did he say? What did he do? What did I mean?" It's just bad. And the mix
I didn't
is
have
not
any
great.
Problems understanding the dialogue while watching it, though.
Right. Like, I can lip read a little bit. That kind of like covers the gap. Yeah. But apparently,
the context also helps.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, here she is again, pausing again.
Something's going on. Something bad.
Something bad, you guys.
Something's bad.
All right. Here's the homeless guy. Buck Truck. What's his name?
Buck Flower.
That's close. All right, here we go.
Excuse me, lady. Help out an old alder boy? If you ain't got no change, a dollar will do it.
What's an alder boy?
Alter boy.
Like, you know,
an alder boy.
He's from my dad's generation where they said alder instead of alter.
That's right.
They do that.
It also feels like you just played a clip from literally 100 different movies.
Yeah,
that's because he's been in all of them.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, all the movies he was in. Yeah. What's that DeLorean doing here?
He didn't have lines in that, did he? I don't remember.
He did.
He was on the park bench, right?
Yeah, but did he say something? Park bench? I don't remember him saying anything.
Ah, get away from you, kid.
Maybe he was like, just like a
drunken belcher.
Yeah,
something.
I don't remember. All right. Here's something about peeing on you.
I hope you die, you sack of shit. I hope you die, and I hope you float down the gutter so I can f***ing piss on you.
I was wondering if you were going to bleep any of it, because it's like, he gets so rude.
Really rude. He's so full of venom, I'm telling you, man.
It goes up and down like, hope you die. And I hope you die and float down the gutter and...
So I can piss on you.
And then I hope you stub your toe. But then I hope your toe falls off and catches fire and goes in your eye.
And now you see why he's homeless.
Yeah, now we get it. Now we get it. All right, here's something about curses.
Do you really mean those curses you hurl so freely?
Freely.
He's freely.
They do.
He's freely. All right, here's a smell. Oh, I can smell your fear or something. What is this?
I can smell your fear.
I forgot I did that.
Well done.
Sometimes you forget because we missed a day because we had a internet problem yesterday. Yeah. So I forgot I did it. So that was fun. For me as well.
Can you give us that one again without any talk?
Yeah, here you go. Sure.
I can smell your fear.
Nailed it.
I'm sorry to Tammy or whatever her name is. I didn't mean to throw her under the bus.
Your name is Tammy. You nailed it. Tammy.
What is it? Name? Frida, Tammy.
Tammy Lauren. You got
Tammy
it.
Lauren. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's, why is Freddy so quiet? Listen to this. Here's Robert Englund just barely making noise.
Tell you what, Hera. Let me show you something. You'll be interested in this, I think. Any new treasures at the auction house?
He's just, dude, speak up. He's so mumbly. I don't know what the deal is.
I'll see you in your dreams.
You do a pretty good Jin voice. Does the Jin have a name? Or is it just, see.
Mr. Jin.
Yeah, the
Mr.
Jin.
Wishmaster.
Yeah, just
Mr. Master.
Oh, yeah, he is the Wishmaster, I guess. Yeah.
He's credited as the Djinn, not just
that's the reason why I did my intro the Django and
exactly.
Such a weird.
Are you sure it's the or just the?
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I don't
the,
know.
The
could just, well, no, I just mean like if you say he is the Djinn, it has different connotation than he's the Djinn.
You know, right. And they said in the movie is both singular and plural, so it's hard to tell. Is he Legion? Is that what they're implying? Wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't dig any deeper. Stopped right there.
Well, here's Jason Voorhees saying words.
No, I can't say that I do. Can't say I give a shit either.
Well, he's a very, very well-spoken horror legend. Is,
yeah.
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 Too bad he couldn't speak during the thing.
Yeah, why put that terrific shaving technique behind a hockey mask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
That weird, like, full beard mustache, big gap, and then the side, like, no sideburns.
Yeah, but it was like a laser cut, too, right?
Just it was. Yeah. Yeah, it was, like, exactly, like, to a point on his jawline.
In other words,
I didn't like it.
Terrible.
You didn't, terrible. You didn't like it, but how do you feel about Tony Stark? Like, that... Do you ever stop and think, man, Tony spends a lot of time on that?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've, you know, we've all, well, I know about we've all, but a lot of us have tried doing that, shaving with, like, all right, let's see if I can actually get a design in the beard. Mm-hmm. And right. It's difficult unless you really have a thick beard or you use, what's the eyelash thickener? So you have mascara on your beard.
Yeah.
Which I haven't done, but I know some of the NSYNC guys did that.
Things that I learned about Ibba today.
I'll guarantee you that Robert Downey Jr.'s beard had a lot of paint on that hair.
Yeah, I'm sure it totally did. It would have to, yeah.
Plus, he has people, you know.
And that's what I think, too. It's like when you see a rich person do it, you're like, oh, he just sat somewhere while somebody did it. Whereas this doorman, you know, he was at home all day in between doing lifts.
Right.
He was doing this, so, you know.
He's got big money from his Friday the 13th money, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a big
money. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, spend it on razors.
Here's, I think this I played earlier, but we'll play it again.
You lying sack of shit!
She's pretty great.
would she finally shit. Have enough? I loved it.
Then the djinn said this.
Yes, the shit just hit the fan, didn't it?
Yeah, it hit the fan.
It is weird hearing, the demon creature from beyond using... common swear words.
Yeah, right? Yeah, which is the idea, like, I guess. That's what they're trying to do.
There's a case to be made that he doesn't even know English. He's been in there 10,000 years. Like, English didn't exist. You know what I mean? And so, like, maybe he could... I don't know.
They hand-waved a lot of that. I mean, all the way down to the point that he knew what a cell phone was pretty quickly.
Right.
It's like... And also, what a weird time the late 90s were, where some people had cell phones, some people didn't, and some people had the nerve to ask to borrow yours. I don't think so.
It's a local call.
Yeah.
It's a local call.
A few years ago, I was driving down Sand Canyon in Irvine, and a car pulled over way out in front of me, like far out in front of me. A car pulled over, and this woman got out, and she walked into the grass on the side of the road and was kind of pacing, like looking like home. Like,
yeah.
There was trouble. Yeah. And so I pulled over and I just got out of my car and said, do you need help? And she said, yes, can I use your phone? And what a scary moment. And like, I am about to hand my phone to a stranger.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'll do anything. But not that.
Not that. You know?
And I wish, I wish I had had the presence of mind to say, let me call someone for you. Tell me what to do. You know, instead of, I just unlocked my phone and handed it to her.
Oh, God.
All I think about is how they're going to drop it on the asphalt. That's all I think about.
Right. Also, there was payphones and cell phones in this film, and also email, but probably nothing like we think of now.
Well, 97, you had all that.
Yeah, 97. Yeah.
Yeah, we had all that stuff. I think in 97.
I mean, we had email in 1997, that was a lot bigger difference. I mean,
I think in 97, I was using what was that free email that everybody had? Juno. Remember Juno?
Juno.
Oh, my God.
Email was so different there, because think about it. In 1997, you might go days with no email. Weeks. No email.
Yeah.
And I could go 5 minutes.
The free service I was using was Bigfoot. And my first email address was randydeluxe@bigfoot.com.
Nice. I'm emailing it right now.
Used it all the way up until Gmail.
Does it forward your current addresses?
It did for a long time. For a long time, I had it set up and working, but the company that owns Bigfoot eventually stopped. They just we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. I had a Yahoo address called peepsdarius@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. I don't.
There's a couple more too, but I don't want to mention them on the air just in case.
I don't check it at all, so I have no
idea. I knew exactly one person who had a cell phone in 1997. Like that's how rare they were, and how like it was like this like rarefied air about a person who had a cell phone.
Oh, yeah. 1997.
I had one. We had we just happened to be associated with a few people who were big into that tech, so we had a bag phone and got the little flip phones pretty early on too. Mm-hmm. But man, I'm pretty sure.
Mm. I just want to be clear. Everyone I knew had a beeper.
Oh yeah, beepers nobody I knew had a beeper. We didn't have any connections there.
Yeah, beepers were everywhere.
We weren't drug dealers.
Yeah, we had beepers. Company, the place I work, gave us all beepers and freaking hated that thing. Hated my beeper.
Did you used to walk around with your Walkman and listen to Sir Mix-a-Lot talk about the beepers?
No.
Is that something you did?
Or? No, I did not. No, no.
Do you remember that song? Beepers?
I do.
No.
I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I remember. Vaguely.
Did you say no, Coverville?
I don't know that song. Yes, I do not know that song.
I love how you're like,
I know
no
exactly
Coverville?
One Sir Mix-a-Lot song, and that
I'm so excited for you to hear that song. Then you've got to listen to Beepers. How about My Posse's on Broadway?
No. I know one Sir Mix-a-Lot song, and that isn't it either.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know the one.
I'm backing off now. I'm backing off.
I love that. I love that you referred to Brian as Coverville because
hey, Coverville. Yeah.
Hey, Coverville, shouldn't you know every song ever made?
Don't you know every all music?
Yeah. Shouldn't every song ever uttered by man?
I have expectations.
Yeah, sure. So does the gin when he goes to the Denny's and the waitress says, "Hey, how was your Grand Slam?" And he says,
"Good."
Yeah, he liked it. It was good.
Good.
All right, here's Tony Todd doing a thing.
Excuse me, sir. Is Mr. Beaumont expecting you? I asked you a question.
I'm 2 inches from your face. Answer me.
I still argue that Tony Todd's wish wasn't even in the least bit granted in the Twilight Zone way.
Well, he said... So he
wants to escape, and then he put him in something that only a master magician could escape from.
Oh, right, because the wish is to escape, not to try to escape something impossible.
Right, exactly, yes.
Yeah, you explained that earlier, but it wasn't ringing, and now I get it. Like, that's effed up. You're right. Yeah. That's completely effed up. Because when you first said it, I went, well, I mean, it's just his tricky way of giving you the thing that's...
He didn't even, it's not like the whole Twilight Zone, like, oh, I'm giving you this, but this part of it is so much worse.
Yeah. Because also, in the box, he's still going, I still wish to escape.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly.
Also, I don't... if he's any good at corrupting wishes, he's going to have no problem with the woman's third and final wish. Like, I wish that so-and-so hadn't been drunk that day. Okay, he will have an aneurysm while he's operating.
Right, rum coffee is still precariously balanced on the panel, control panel.
Nope. Yeah, I was trying to figure it out because it's like it can't do anything that directly relates to. I don't know. It was it's rough.
It's rough.
But that guy really is a disgruntled worker, man, smoking that big old cigar and got flask liquor, just drinking it up.
Right.
Flask liquor.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Robert Englund with a bunch of barf sounds. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Why didn't they have him burning up or something, a la Freddy style or something? Why did they have him throwing up?
They really
up
just
some
barely
weird...
used him. I mean, it was like, sure, I'll come do your movie, a little cameo, but I just want to talk and cough and wriggle around on the floor. You guys can do the rest.
It was stunt casty as shit. And also, I have this question. When that thing doesn't fall on Sam Raimi, his brother, Ted.
Ted Raimi,
And doesn't set everything into motion, the stone's still in there.
Right.
So
he discovered in Wishmaster 2.
Oh, shit. Is that true? Now we have to watch 2. I didn't know what
that was. The stone is still in there, but it's in a priceless artifact, which humanity is going to try, at least, to preserve for a very long time, right?
So, like, until the new lady opens it up, which is apparently the second film.
Which and also the stone is not that is kind of the stone is fragile. Like if you could just point a microscope, a laser, like some kind of laser, you could point a 5 milliwatt laser at it or something. I don't even know what Like, what is this? What is this process? Mm-hmm. Why is this guy pointing anything at a stone that could damage it?
Yep.
What's happening?
Yeah. What is happening? All right. How about this? This is what every 3-year-old hears when their parents say to blow out the candles.
Make your wish.
Ugh. Ugh. All right.
It is Dead funny. Gin. It is funny how you have to stop a kid and repeat yourself.
Yeah.
Make a wish. No. Take your time and make a wish.
Yeah. Really think about that wish.
Yeah.
Yes, I wish to eat this cake.
I wish to not ever be here again, Dad.
Right.
Make
that wish. Make that wish, but make sure it's college money.
There you go. Here is my favorite line of the film, and I saved it for late here in the clip. So enjoy.
Son of a bitch.
There you go.
She's like a little chihuahua or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just starts. She also, says, son
you
know, of a
bitch. She also gets the big FU, but this one's better.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Bitch.
I love the quiet little son of a way down low.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's his long laugh. And that. Oh, and then the band starts. But yeah, I'm not playing. Oh.
It sounds like the beginning of Loverboy waiting for the weekend.
Yeah, instead it was some really crappy 90s like wannabe grunge alternative. It was not good.
Yeah.
All right, here that's gotten us this far. Let's see what happens. Why, it's the film sack checklist. Really bad puppet dog in the space anus? Check. That guard effed up? Check. And finally, those statues might be alive, so don't go down there? Check. Connections in the Star Trek variety. There are a number of them. We mentioned Tony Todd, but there's more, right, Randy? We got more.
Yeah, so Betty McGuire was Mrs. Merritt in this movie. McGuire was also Vanya in the Deep Space Nine episode Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. An actress named Cindy Pass was Glass Woman. That's how they put her.
Oh, from the party. Yep.
Mm. Yeah, Cindy Pass, Glass Woman. She was Ginger in the last couple of seasons of Deep Space Nine. You might recall Deep Space Nine ends up having a holodeck Vegas guy, and Ginger was Ginger was like an extra, a named extra person. So that's Cindy Pass.
I remember that.
We got to talk about Tony Todd, though, because I didn't think of him as middle-aged Jake Sisko. I thought of him as Kern. He's in a bunch of Star Trek stuff.
Oh,
as
yeah, right.
Kern, right. This really stern Klingon. And if you look him up, man, he works. He's in a bunch of Star Trek video games. The guy was all over Star Trek.
Let's see here. Kern. Yeah, look at him. He's kind of scary as Kern. Kern was scary. He's TNG, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. TNG, yes. Yeah, he's a cool. He was the one that was always telling Worf, "You've gotten soft in your human bullshit or whatever."
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's no honor or whatever he would say. All right,
but his character spacing was right on point.
His character spacing.
Get it? Is kerning? I get it.
Thank you very much. I'll see myself out.
Oh, typography too, man. I went to class. That's awesome. All right, let's get to the soundtrack grade. I'll give it a T for terrible. It's just really not great. It's fine. It's too loud, and it's not great and memorable, and it's poo. Uh-huh. But good luck to whoever did it.
That was one of the best names, journeyman composer. I'm forgetting his name, but it's like Harry Manfredini. It's like really similar to a lot of other names.
Wow. Hey, Manfredini. I love this name.
I'm trying to like a made up Manfredini.
Manfredson. I'm trying to find
that's exactly where I went.
Harry Manfredini. And Fredini. He composed music for a lot of movies like this, like movies of this ilk, like Deep Star 6 and the Omega Code.
But then the original Friday the 13th. So all these people really know each other.
Yeah.
House, the Omega Man, or sorry, Omega Code rather, Deep Star 6. That's a movie we got to do.
Yeah.
Let's see. Whole bunch. Yeah, you're right. Mostly this sort of stuff. And he's still doing a bunch. He's got a ton in the works. He's a busy man. Well, good for him. Look at that. That's a hell of a career. That guy never not works. Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't give him too hard of a time. He looks like that in the actor studio guy
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
What do you want Saint Peter to say to you when you arrive in heaven?
That's the guy.
What's your favorite curse word?
He looks like him. Not quite the Will Ferrell version, but
right. I can't see that guy and not think of Arrested Development.
Oh yeah, he was great on there. He was Warden Gentles,
prison guard or prison warden? Yeah,
yeah. Warren Gentles. What kind of name is Gentles?
Also, just speaking of the music, there's a thing where you first go into the big party, the very first entrance into this big grand party in a mansion, and there's this chamber ensemble playing a Schubert quintet. These are just actors pretending to play, right? They're just, but the music is like, it's very particular to the scene, to that setting, that party in a mansion. And I just wanted to ask you, anybody ever been to one of those parties where just that music is playing?
Nope.
Never been to a party any kind.
Yeah. Brian don't party.
Aw.
He don't party. I mean, the closest you got, we partied at Nerdtacular, but that's about it.
No party like a Dunaway party.
That was a party?
Yeah. Yeah, you were
what were you guys doing? I was working.
Doesn't seem like a party.
You were the center of it, man. You were the focus of that party.
Oh, that's the reason why I didn't feel like a party. I have been to a few
parties at Scott Johnson's house, and I just got to say, try the Schubert music sometime. Let's just see what happens.
All right.
Let's see.
Okay.
Try the Schubert.
You thought that hot tub moment was weird? Wait until we get the Schubert going. All right, let's move on to the alternate. No, I'm sorry, the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 280 Unicode characters or less have to sum up what this film is. And I'm going to start this time. Let me pull the hat, random hat pull here. Let's start with Randy, I think, this time.
Wishmaster, the ABC after school special of horror movies, brought to you by the Mead Trapper Keeper, now available in Ruby Red.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, nice.
Get on that deal.
Huh. Cool.
It's a hell of a deal. What kind of a deal? Then Brian Dunaway.
Wishmaster, like living in the late 90s, wishing for a return to horror films from the 80s, and then getting this as you wish.
Nice. Hashtag nice.
Hashtag as you wish.
As you wish.
As you wish.
Finally, Brian Hibbett.
Wishmaster. Alex defeats the Wishmaster by doing what we all wanted to do all along, just wishing that this movie didn't exist.
Can't wish it away, though. Magic doesn't work in real life. All right. Alternate title time. This is just handed to me. This was almost called, instead of Wishmaster, it was almost called Fishmaster. Or, I'm sorry, Fish Blaster. Sorry. Fish Blaster. I don't know why, just because it rhymes. And then it was almost called the Ted Raimi timeline. So they thought better of it. Yeah. They thought better of it and changed it. A couple quick emails. We like to read your emails here on the show. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address. Please keep them coming. John G. wrote in and says, I want to humbly suggest a thing you could start doing on Filmsack in the future. If you go to IMDb, I think this works on mobile, and go to any movie, you can change the default sort of the actors in the movie to most popular, and then it orders them from who is most popular right then, meaning, you know, at the time, who's the most popular actor. At the moment, you hit sort based on some obscure IMDb algorithm, or instead of based on that. So, if you go back to some movie in the 80s, and someone in that movie had a line or two, or even has no lines, but later they become a huge star, they would show up first in the list. It is often very odd to find out who's number one according to IMDb, because I think it has something to do with how much they're being searched for on IMDb at the time. So if somebody recently had a scandal, they may show up exactly first, or if they just died or something like that, that might push them up. It's fun to check up on when you never go to old movies. Give it a try if you like, John G. That's a fun little thing.
I'm not seeing a way to do that.
Mobile, maybe mobile only. Let's see. And it may be maybe only mobile the app, only. Right? Like maybe the app does it.
Or maybe it's IMDb Pro only.
Maybe.
Could be.
Right. I'm going to click a movie and try it. Yep. Let's do Venom.
We haven't talked about how IMDb changed their main layout. Like their whole UX changed about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's shocking at first when you go there and it's like a completely different looking site, but I kind of like it.
Oh, you know what?
It is the app. Yeah, online I do like it.
It is the app, by the way.
Okay.
But this does interesting things. So, for example, the film Splash. You know the one.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I did order. Let me change the order from credit only to popularity. There we go. I refine it.
Where do you? And that's in the. It must be on the iPhone app because I'm on the iPad app and I'm not seeing that.
It's a little down arrow thing next to the cast, where it says sorted by credits or something. I assume it's on both apps. It should be. But anyway, it puts Tom Hanks.
Well, it puts on iPad. It puts the cast to the right of all of the other details.
Oh, maybe it is different. Well, anyway, it puts Tom Hanks number one, Clint Howard at number two, Daryl Hannah at number three, Eugene Levy at four, John Candy, Daryl Edwards, Nick Von Lango, Howard Morris, and Rance Howard. Oh, and Cheryl Howard. Oh, boy, all these Howards are in that.
Well, since 1997 when this film came out, Wishmaster now by popularity is Tony Todd is number one.
Yeah,
and
baby.
Andrew Devoff is number two.
Yeah, baby.
And Robert Englund is number three.
That's awesome. This is actually pretty cool. Popularity. Yeah. Let me look at.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Totally, totally phone app and not iPad app. I see the little hamburger menu.
Yeah, that's weird. They shouldn't do that. Those should have unified functionality. That bugs me.
Hamburger.
Because Florence Pugh right now in front of Scarlett Johansson popularity wise for Black Widow.
Yeah, she'll love that. She'll be super into that.
Scarlett might not be as happy about that, but yeah. You know.
No, that's what I mean. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, gotcha.
There's a lot of memes going around of her making a blank angry face about all the raves that her co-star is getting.
We should have sacked that movie. I want to talk about it so bad.
Yeah. Well, we may could still. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. Neither has Brian, but you're about to. So maybe we will. Mm-hmm. I don't know. One final email from John G, who wrote, same guy. That's interesting. He says, just catching up on your coverage of Alien. So I don't know if you've already heard this from anyone else. I wanted to add something maybe Randy didn't catch on his first viewing of the film. The reason Ash tries to shove a magazine down Ripley's throat is because he's broken. He's a broken machine. What's so creepy? Oh. Or what's so creepy is this kind of human-like experience of losing your mind, but it's an android. So this is dissociative. This is a dissociative episode. Is even more mechanically broken than a human would be, thus making it a little harder to watch. The separate mission that the company has him on to save the alien specimen that they want to exploit has broken him. He has lost it. He no longer is choosing to shove the magazine down her throat as some kind of special technique. He's not choosing to do it as a special technique. It's more that he is having a mind spasm and making absurd connections, like this tube is supposed to go into that hole, as if some sort of basic early AI test from the very first AI that goes down to some deep core level of the basic programming that that his AI is based on. I find it terrifying, not funny or silly, just my thoughts, John. Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way at all, because in my mind it was like, well, that's an odd choice. Jamming that, but now I guess that makes sense. If the robot's losing it, then of course it's going to make odd choices, right? I guess.
Do anything and it'll just say, oh, it's because he's broken.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
What happened?
He did that because he's broken.
Yeah, he peed all over the principal. Why? Oh, he's broken.
He's broken.
Yeah.
Broken robot. But I guess, I mean, it does make sense. And he just grabs the first thing that he can see that's a weapon and...
Yeah. And jam it in the hole. Yeah. If y'all want to send your emails in, either to contradict any of this and or add your own thoughts, filmsack@gmail.com. Please keep them rolling. We love them. Our next film is going to be... I forgot.
Fast and the Furious.
Oh, the first Fast and
Uno.
The Furious.
Uno. Yes.
Yep. This is before...
2001.
Yeah. This is the one that is now
first
20 years
the
old.
First Furious.
20 years old now, right? 20? 20? 20?
Yeah.
20.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we're in the ninth film just launched, what, a week ago, and so it seems like a good time to go back. We've only seen two before. If I get my way, we'll see Tokyo Drift on this show, but that'll be, you know, some time before we do that. But yes, we're back to the original Paul Walker, of course, and your bald man, Groot. What's his name?
Vin Diesel.
Bald man Groot.
Bald man Groot. And we're going to have a good time. So come back this next weekend for an episode of FilmSack where we feature the first Fast and the Furious. That is going to do it for us. FilmSack.com is our website, and you can email us at FilmSack@gmail.com. Also find us on Twitter @FilmSack. And if you wouldn't mind, leave us a review wherever you get your shows. It helps us out a lot. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Step aside, doorman.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Son of a bitch!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.